9.
Romans 8:17. We are heirs of God. And joint heirs with Jesus. This is Heir Church.
With Pastor Dave Thomas of the Heir Church, 159 Clark Road, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us at our new Northside campus every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Our website is theheirchurch.org. That's the H-E-I-R church.org. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Dave Thomas.
That wasn't something that already killed Jesus. So now we'll kill your friends. We'll kill your friends next. This is like a mafia execution. We're looking for your relatives too, and your friends. And remember they pointed out and said, wait, weren't you with Jesus? No, I don't know him. Peter said, no, that wasn't none of me. I wasn't with him. Are you willing to identify with Jesus? Well, you're going to get some persecution. Amen. But you an overcomer. Amen. But the word says, and they talked together of all the things which had happened. Amen. And it came to pass that while they commune together and reason. Underline in your Bible, commune and reason. Commune and reason. This is an aspect of how people get together and they talk and they come to their own conclusions. They commune and reason. Amen. And one point in the Bible, Jesus approached them and said, why reason ye among yourselves? You know, why don't you get the facts? Why don't you get the facts and stop trying to come up with this through your own reasoning? Well, you know, if the Lord were like was really real, you know, he wouldn't let all these people, all this wouldn't happen. It can't be no God, all this. You reasoning. They're the reason God out of the equation. It can't be a God based on what's happening in the world. Though sometimes you wonder, say, well, all this stuff going on, where's the Lord? Can't he just stop it? No. There are spiritual laws that are in effect. If God could do what he wanted, he'd have got you saved a lot earlier. You'd have been saved earlier than you got saved. But man is a free moral agent. So when you look at the aspect of how man is made up and how the earth is on a course with destiny. Now, the things that prophetically that have been spoken about where the world will be and what's going to happen in the world at different times, it's on a course with destiny. It's right on schedule. But who will participate and how you will participate is left up to you because you have a choice. Come on, somebody. And that's why we're to preach to people and let them know what the truth is, that the world is on a course with destiny, prophetically, amen? But you can choose to get with God or just ride down the wrong road. But the word says, and they talked together of all the things which happened, and it came to pass. Say, it came to pass. Okay? And as they communed and reasoned, together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Jesus just blend right in. Same way he did before he went to the cross. He just blend right in. He just get right in the midst of you. Amen? Hallelujah. And so, it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. Here it is again, same thing. Well, it can't be him, he's dead. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are saying? Well, what are you talking about and why are you saying? He had perceived that their conclusion about what they were talking about produced a state of being sad when it should not be that way. That means their information was wrong. They had the wrong information. Hallelujah. You know, many times the church can have the wrong information. You can think, well, God's trying to get even with you. Or God's trying to fix you because you messed up in the past. Wrong information. No, God loves you. He sent Jesus to die for you. And he redeemed you from the curse of the law. He's not trying to get even with you. And so there are certain thoughts that will create fear, and that's from God. God's not trying to scare you. Amen. He's not trying to get even with his kids. Talking to believers now. But the word says, and the one of them whose name was Cleophas answered and said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And so, of course, Jesus had died on the cross. And they're like, don't you know what happened? And he said unto them, what things? And he said unto them, what things? Jesus asked them, what things? In other words, what are you talking about? What things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. All right. He's referencing that the prophet is dead. There's been many prophets die. They ain't raised from the dead. But Jesus ministered prophetically, amen, but he was the Savior. So you got to know, proper identity determines response to conflict in all situations. So they had not embraced his proper identity, even though he revealed to them who he was. The man of God said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. This was before he went to the cross. But here, after he died on the cross, of course, we know he had been raised from the dead. He said concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word. He was mighty in deed and what? Word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted, let's read this together. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Underline that in your Bible. He's there saying, we thought he was the God that was going to redeem us. He did. Proper redemption. He did redeem them. But your interpretation of redemption, and this is what we have. This is how we as people miss it. The answer you think is the answer to your perishing predicament is not what you think it is. It's not a better job. It's not more money. It's not a better attitude. You need to be born again. It's much deeper than that. The redemption that relates to everything in your life starts with a change of heart and what only God could do through sending Jesus. You can get a better this, a better that, or one more of those, or two more of these, and you won't be any different. Amen. You will self-destruct. Your self-destruction process will increase if you increase without God. And so their interpretation, see, they were waiting, God, get us out of this situation. See, you want to get out of your natural situation, but your natural situation is the byproduct of your spiritual deficiency. It's all spiritual. You can't change people from the outside and they stay changed. The change has to be on the inside. You must be born again. This is what salvation is. You can give a sinner more of anything you want to give them. It's not going to change them. Not only that, not only will their life continue to be on a bad course, it would their peace, what they won't have the peace, but their eternal destination is still sitting there, which is eternal damnation. And that's what we look to get, because there's nothing on earth. The word says, what profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And so here, as they look, you look at this, Jesus is challenging the thought life of the people after he's died. At least this group of people right here. So he says, let's read it one more time. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, this is the third day since these things were done. And he's dead. All hope. So I say all hope. It's like all hope is gone. Many people come into church, all hope, well, you know, I don't have a good education. I don't do this right here. I don't do this. Your victory is not based on that. Victory is based on Jesus, amen, him crucified. You've been redeemed from all the curse of the law. Hallelujah. Your faith in God. Mark 11:22, he said, Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. Amen. You can't have faith in God without knowing God. So the Bible reveals, God reveals himself. He reveals himself in a manner that man can comprehend him. How can you comprehend God? Through his word. The word of God is written at a level to where man can understand and comprehend God to the level that's necessary to have a relationship and understand who you have a relationship with. You ever see people have a relationship with somebody and say, well, I just don't understand her. Why do you have a relationship and you don't understand her? I just don't understand. I don't get him. I just never know where he's coming from. What kind of relationship is that? You got to get to know one another. So with God, God wants you to, amen, he reveals himself. As a matter of fact, God can't be known apart from his word. He can't be known by looking at the fish and the air and the sea. But the word declares the heavens declare the glory of God. But you can't know him apart from his word. And he reveals himself. We're made in his likeness and his image. Amen. It'll help us to know ourselves better. Quickly. So the word says, amen. And verse number 22, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. Underline the word astonished. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. All right. Now, excuse me, this looks like, okay, hearsay, third party information. The women say they saw him, they saw a vision of angels, and the angels who were in the vision we saw said he's alive. Now they know who he's talking about. Remember, Jesus is famous. They know who he's talking about, but they say he's alive. And matter of fact, one of the questions you ask people is, what is Jesus doing today if he's alive? Is Jesus alive in your consciousness? Or are the accomplishments of Jesus alive in your consciousness? You know the things, your confession and all the things you make, are based on the finished work of Jesus at Calvary. All of those things have to do with redemption. Because he lived, I can live, I can face tomorrow. Amen. But not only because he lived, you are empowered. You are empowered because he lived based on the power, amen, over all the power of the enemy. Because Jesus served out. Whatever we owe God, Jesus paid the price for it. So here, the word says, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels. And then verse 24, and certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Now, look up real quick for time. You're seeing in John and in Luke a repetition of this aspect of Jesus, the people at the sepulchre who didn't see him, the people at the sepulchre that saw him, the people that saw the angels. Are you seeing these accounts? God, we couldn't know this. We couldn't know this without the scriptures documenting this for us. And it gives several accounts. All right, so the angels spoke to the people that saw and said, why seek you the living among the dead? All right, somebody say angels. Well, remember the angel appeared to Zacharias, right? So you must factor the supernatural into your knowledge of God and the word of God. God not a regular guy. And so when the angel appeared to Zacharias, he said, know ye not that I am Gabriel who stand in the presence of God. So God brought and integrated the supernatural and its characters in the spirit to earth and communicated with normal man. Hello, somebody. Yes, he did. I say, yes, he did. And so here at his resurrection, I mean, after he was removed from the tomb, the angels were there. Remember that stone? He rolled the stone away. Amen. Amen. He moved that stone so y'all could see in. An empty tomb. It's a song about the empty tomb. Amen. And then Jesus is hanging around and Mary sees Jesus. Amen. And realizes Mary. The account. Somebody say the account. See, all this plays in. It is vital based on what it's connected to. That has to do with your destiny. See, your destiny is based on believing. Somebody say believing. Your destiny is based on believing. So you've got to have the information that connects all the dots. That this same Jesus, as he showed back, and so before he got in and everybody realized it, the way to discredit it, you have to discredit the resurrection. But the resurrection is confirmed. It's being confirmed with witnesses. Quickly. The word said, then said he unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now, you can put a check by that in your Bible. What he is saying is that prophetically, everything that you're seeing now is already written and documented that this would occur. Well, why is that so important? It's very important because God is engaging the supernatural with the natural. And it's about to occur in a manner that's never occurred since the creation of man. Since the creation of man. This is what's occurred. And it gets more supernatural. When I say supernatural, you're dealing with the power of God operating in mankind in the earth. Amen. God had lost his lease on the earth. Amen. When Adam and Eve sinned, there were certain things could not occur because they would violate spiritual law. The Bible said the devil is the god of this world because Adam and Eve committed high treason and they lost the authority that man had on the earth. God had given it to man. So God gave the authority to man of the earth, God had to get it back the way it was lost. The Bible declares that Jesus is the second Adam. Adam lost it. Him and Eve. Adam lost it. God gave Adam. He lost it in sin. Jesus had to come back and pay for sin and get it back. And he gave it to you. You have it, that authority. Tell your neighbors, I have that authority. Amen. Amen. Yes, you do. You've been redeemed. So quickly, the word says, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. How much the prophets spoke? All that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ, let's read this aloud. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Lord have mercy. It's like, didn't y'all know there was a price to pay? Didn't you know some people don't think there's a price to pay. There's a price to pay. Didn't you know? He revealed it. There's a price to pay. Salvation is not free. It costs something. When you know the price, you can value it. You can value what you have. Many believers don't value what you have because you haven't focused on the price. If you take it for granted, you take Jesus for granted. That means you don't value him, so you won't value what you have and you won't value you. Your value is wrapped up in God's love for Jesus and him sending him for us. As you know the price of things, that way you know how to be a good steward of it. How to monitor, to make proper use of it. Amen. And remember the other night, I think it was Wednesday, we were talking about the name of Jesus. When that book came out, the name of Jesus, there's power in that name. Amen. Oh, there's power in that name. That name above every name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because prophetically, there are things that were applied to Jesus that Jesus would do. Amen. Of his father David that come to him. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But anyway, we'll go further. So here in this initial aspect, and this leads us to up to this time period of the 50 days, the 40 days when Jesus would leave and Pentecost would occur. So there's an aspect of the gospel where it gets like real miracle-y. I mean like real supernatural. And it's coming down the pipe. But because we know the story, actually I would say because we know the story, many people don't know the story, but if you look at what is being set up, what Jesus is setting up, he said, there's about to be a power engagement. There's about to be a power engagement with mankind and God that has never been since God made Adam and Eve. The time period we're living, there's never been a period like this. Where God was in man and the power of God was available to man the way it is now. It hadn't been since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. They were supernatural. Glory be to God. That's why the word had to tell us to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. He said, I'm going to change the way you think, the way you see. You know, if you change the way you think, you change the way you see. Because you see with your mind. I said, if you change the way you think, the content of your thinking, you are changing your visual perception of life itself. I said you are changing your visual concept of your life itself because you certain thoughts. Many people see certain things, they say, oh yeah, you know that never worked. Because they've been trained destructive, to think destructive. You say, well, you know, God wouldn't show me that. Well, God wouldn't take me to it if he wasn't going to take me through it. See, you begin, your heart mind has been reprogrammed. That's why it's so crucial, the conquest of the mind. But anyway, the word says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to come into his glory? And beginning at Moses, read this with me. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. What? He said, sit down, y'all. Let me talk to y'all. Why did he do this? Look, I'm going to close my Bible. Why didn't he do this before he died? See, if you're sitting there and a dead man talking to you, you're listening differently. You're listening a whole new way. Your mind like saying, this cannot be. But he talking. That's him. You see the nail prints in his hand. And so he began to expound to them. Somebody say the setup. Oh, I tell you, this is, you talk about, Oral Roberts used to call it divine possibility thinking. How many of y'all remember that? Divine possibility thinking. It comes with a renewed mind. There are things in your life that God wants to do, but they are in you as divine possibilities based on the will of God, the word of God, the power of God, and your cooperation and your faith as they come together. Come on, somebody. That's why you call the believer and not a doubter. That's why you're the head and not the tail. You turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a divine possibility thinker. Amen. I'm not thinking defeat. I'm not thinking losing. I'm not thinking dying. I'm thinking head and not the tail. Amen. Because that's what the word promises. Amen. And so when Jesus said this to them, the word said he revealed unto them all the things the scripture said concerning him. Well, keep in mind, remember who he's dealing with? He's dealing with Israel. They know the Old Testament. So you may come and say, well, I don't know a lot about the Old Testament, Pastor. You can read it and understand it, but there's some new stuff. But we're sharing with you because it's documented through the Old Testament, where you can go to the Old Testament and look at it. Are you with me? But this divine interaction between the spirit world and mankind, it takes all this to get people ready to receive it. See, there's some get ready in you that God's got to do. I said there's some get ready God have to do. There's some lies the devil told you. God wants to extract them lies out of you. So you are fully a divine possibility of thinking. Not 50%, not 30%, but 100%. Come on, somebody. And so he said that concerning all the things concerning him. Can you imagine? He's been raised from the dead. He's been to the Father. Well, why does he have to do all this? He getting you ready for something. I say, he's getting you ready for something. You sitting in here by the Spirit of God in your heart. God's getting you ready for something. Lord have mercy, God's getting you ready for something. He's getting you ready to believe what he's telling you and to do what he wants you to do because you're already made for it. I say, because you're already made for it. No matter what you've been through, no matter how much the liar was running your life, you've been delivered. God's going to infuse the truth in you. Amen. And the picture that he has for your life. And so he began to do this. And it said that's in one verse right there. But you know it took more than one verse for him to reveal to them. And then there were other things. Now, the people he went to initially, somebody said initially, they had spent the most time with him. So he had a greater frame of reference with them. It said, to get them over the fear, okay, all right, so they're not going to come kill us, or we're going to be all right. Right, yep, y'all going to be fine. Now, here's plan B. Let me give you some revelation about my identity that you obviously are not aware of that has to do with your destiny. Revelation of Jesus' identity that has to do with their destiny and their assignment. Saying this things about God, about Jesus, amen, through the word of God. Until you get a revelation, you won't do what he wants you to do. And the devil will see that you won't do it. There's a point. You don't just give assignments to just anybody. The assignment comes when there's an aspect of leadership, an attitude of faithfulness, an attitude of commitment. And we got to drag you through the door to come to church. You're not ready for no assignment. If you can't focus on the things of God longer than 10 minutes, you're not ready for no assignment. If God give you an assignment, he's ready to bless you above measure, amen, and equip you for the assignment. And so he takes the accountability. So Jesus had to give these guys something they didn't have, even though they had been with him. It's like, okay, we thought he was going to help us, but he's dead. No, he's alive. Now you have another picture, and he's about to give it to you, and I'll share the rest of it next time. Give the Lord a praise. I'm stopping. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout of praise, somebody. Just be here on time. Amen. So we can share it together and rejoice in the glory of God, because there's somebody out there that needs you to be in. Come on, somebody. There's somebody out there that needs you functioning on all cylinders with God's love and God's power. In Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise if you would. Amen. Stand to your feet. We got to go. We got to go. Have you been blessed by the word? My God, my God. Go back over Luke and you read it. Amen. And be ready for next time. Hallelujah. Can you imagine? Jesus caught up with them. I'm trying to picture that. After he caught up with them, they were afraid. They weren't afraid no more. He said, you're not afraid, but you need some more. There's some more information. I said, there's some more information that you don't have. He said, concerning me, what the scriptures are saying concerning me. God's thorough, isn't it? To reveal things. You can't get all Jesus in one. You can't get all Jesus in one service. You know what I'm saying? Like Easter's good. That's why it's good to have plenty of candy ready available. Amen. Just one day. Might have a good time with the kids, good family get together and show the love of God. Amen. How many of y'all big on the love of God? Oh, it's the calling card. Oh, it's the calling card of God. For God so loved the world. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank God. Amen. You say he's drawn by their love. Amen. Are you going to love people you won't speak to them? You won't reach out to them? Bless them. Amen. Bless the stranger. Amen. Represent God to people. Amen. Hallelujah. You can't love them staring at them. Speak. Amen. Say, God bless you, my sister. God bless you, my brother. Amen. Amen. Many believe you need Christian training. Amen. You know, America being a Christian, basic Christian country, there are a lot of things that many of you grew up and your parents trained you, and you didn't really know they were training you how to be a Christian. I had some friends on some music on the job. I had said, do all black people know each other? You know, there was a friend of mine that asked me. I said, no, we don't all know each other. He said, y'all all speak to each other. Why do y'all all speak to each other? We've been trained that way. Lord have mercy. It's rude to stab people and don't speak. Don't you have no home training? What a home you come out of. Staring at me in my face and won't speak. Now kids do it. Kids will look at you. Look. Train your cheering. You won't speak to them. And if you're not going to speak, they're not going to do it. They look at you not speaking. I don't leave that alone. That's where that comes. Some of you remember, you're old enough to remember that home training. That was Christian training, y'all. That's what that was. That was from church. I said that was from church. Amen. That's the love of God. I don't have to know your name to love you. Amen. Amen. You can't control who loves you, but you can get that love out. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to give that love out. I'm just give it. Amen. I'm just going to give that love left and right. Love left and right. That'll be a good message. Love left and right. Amen.
Hello, this is Pastor Thomas. That's all the time we have for today's message. I'd like to personally invite you to come out to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. We're in our new location at 159 Clark Road, right off of North Main Street, just past the Hexer Drive overpass. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us for The Air Church, the live worship service from The Air Church, 159 Clark Road on Jacksonville's north side, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us again next Sunday morning at our new location in the sanctuary at 10 a.m. or join us at 6 p.m. next Sunday for the worship service of The Air Church here on Praise 107.9. For more information, go to www.theairchurch.org. That's the H-E-I-R church.org.